This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're focusing on bankruptcy law and particularly the rights and obligations of debtors and creditors. It's my pleasure to have someone who's been incredibly generous with his time, with actually trying to assist not only this radio program, this station, but you, the listeners who may be in need of some input with regard to your debts, etc. I hope this is not something that has affected you, but Leon Baer is my guest. He's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. His offices are in Los Angeles. He's the co-author of a fifth edition of Nolo Press's consumer book entitled The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You? Leon has for a number of years now, when we have done, he's not only been a guest on the program several times, but when we have done our Call a Lawyer night, which is usually the fourth Wednesday of the month, Leon has taken calls from listeners who have debt problems the following Thursday. And perhaps he will do that next week, because our next Call a Lawyer night will be on July 24th. In any event, Leon's going to talk to us about various issues that he feels we should know about, and then I'm going to, early in the program, give him the local phone number and invite you to call in with your questions or your comments. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, which certifies 11 fields of law, not only bankruptcy law, but appellate law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, immigration and nationality law, taxation law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. Additional funding is provided by the Family Law Section of the State Bar and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Leon, I thank you for coming up with your wife, Helen.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure
with us
to be here.
In the studio here, the hallowed halls of KALW.
It's great sitting here.
Well, it's nice to have you here. You know, as we were preparing for the program, you mentioned to me, and I was somewhat outraged by this, that many of your clients tell you that they have been told by bill collectors who are hounding them that, by the way, you can't file for bankruptcy. Would you talk about that for a bit?
Sure. People who receive debt collection calls are often given misinformation by the bill collector. If you owe money and you get a phone call from a bill collector, the bill collector is a person of some authority. At least you think he is, or she. Their goal is to get you to pay money. I understand that. And they have a legitimate right, in most cases, to do so. But they cross the line frequently because, out of their enthusiasm to collect money from you, they will lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you mention to the bill collector who calls you, I might be filing bankruptcy or something. A lot of times the bill collector will just jump in and say, oh, no, you can't file bankruptcy on this. This is a credit card. Don't you know about those new bankruptcy laws?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the bill collector just absolutely lies to you. I always tell my clients, we do not take our legal advice from the folks on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
When they tell you what your legal rights are, tune them out. You need to go to a program like this, and there's many other wonderful internet sources, the Nolo Press books, that will tell you in plain, simple language all these marvelous legal rights that you don't know you have.
You have, at Nolo, and I've been involved with Nolo for many, many years. Nolo has never been a funder of this program, but I have had many of the authors, including you, on the program probably over the last 30-some-odd years. I've been doing this program for, it's a little over 29 years, believe it or not.
I thought you started with Thomas Edison.
Well, that's true. We had two cans with a long string, and that's how we used to talk with each other. In any event, what I want to do is ask you, are there also problems with bill collectors not really being upfront about verifying the debts? And who really owes or owns the debts at this point?
Yeah, here's what happens now in modern society. Big banks will put together a block of thousands of delinquent credit card bills, and they'll sell it off to a third-party debt collector. And they may sell $1 million of delinquent accounts for $10,000. And then the company that buys this block of debts goes to work collecting them. When you get called by these people, there's so many different steps removed from the original debt that it's kind of hard to know if you really owe money to these people. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have rights under the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act to demand and to receive verification of the debt. So that
in writing.
Mm-hmm. Now, what so often happens is a third party who buys a big block of debts from a bank turns around and may broker them out and sell them off to someone else yet again. Mm-hmm. And these blocks of debt go through any number of different hands. By the time it gets to the very lowest bottom feeders, they oftentimes don't have any documentation. If they ever had it, they've lost it. And that can be a good defense to the debt mm-hmm. by the consumer. Mm-hmm. So a consumer, you have wonderful, powerful legal rights to demand verification of the debt. And if it can't be verified, you don't have to pay it.
What about one of the members, although I don't think she has a student debt problem, but one of the reporters here asked me, is it true that student debt cannot be discharged in bankruptcy? And I told her, although I am not knowledgeable about bankruptcy laws, I told her that's my basic understanding. What's going on there with student debt and let's say somebody in this very difficult finance situation that we find ourselves in across the country where people perhaps can't pay their student debt. What's the situation there?
Well, I hope she's listening tonight because she'll learn something that your listeners will know, and that is, as a general rule, student loan debts cannot be discharged in a bankruptcy case. That wasn't always the situation. The law 35 years ago did allow fairly liberal rules for discharging student loan debt. But over the last three decades, your legal rights have been eroded considerably to the point now where generally you cannot discharge any kind of a student loan in a bankruptcy case unless you are suffering some kind of a severe permanent disability mm-hmm. which prevents you from having a meaningful livelihood. The courts look to see that you have a standard of living that is at subsistence level. If you have a middle class standard of living, you are not going to get what's called the hardship student loan discharge. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There used to also be an important distinction between debts issued by private banks versus student loan debts issued under the auspices of a nonprofit university or college or a governmental agency. I'm sure most listeners are familiar with the concept of government-guaranteed student loans. Mm-hmm. Department of Education makes many direct loans to students. That's changed quite a bit because under the new bankruptcy laws, even privately issued for-profit student loans are no longer discharged in mm-hmm. bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. There's been a whole growth in that industry now of lenders who have gotten into the student loan business because they can now make loans to people that can't be discharged in a bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. My gosh, it's better than issuing a credit card bill.
Yeah, it certainly is.
They got you the rest of your life. There's not even a statute of limitations on these student loans.
Oh, really?
Really.
You can be hounded on this for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So, you know, I hope you get a good education, put it on your tombstone.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to heaven with your student loan.
That sounds pretty serious. Pretty serious. Pretty,
well, I don't know if I'll
scary.
See you there.
Pretty
but...
scary. Pretty scary. A couple of things before I give the local phone number, and that is, in my experience of doing these programs with you and other certified specialists in the area of bankruptcy law over the years, I have learned that a number of people, and in my own office as a deputy DA for San Mateo County, occasionally I will get a complaint from someone who's saying I'm being hounded by creditors. What do I do? I really don't want to go into bankruptcy because I think it'll ruin my credit for the rest of my life, et cetera, et cetera. What about that? Does it ruin your credit for the rest of your life or not?
No, it doesn't ruin your credit for the rest of your life. If you're being hounded by bill collectors and you're worried that going into bankruptcy is going to ruin your credit, I got news for you. You already don't have any credit. If bill collectors are already calling you, your credit's gone down the drain. Mm-hmm. The bankruptcy is not going to make your credit any worse than it already is. What it will do probably is help to rehabilitate your credit. So the key to getting new credit after a bankruptcy is make yourself credit worthy. You need personal financial stability. You need a steady paycheck mm-hmm. over a reasonable period of time because you've got to convince the lending industry that you are a person who has not only the desire to repay any new debt, but the actual financial ability to repay. The days when banks would send credit cards out to anybody, your dog, your cat, they didn't care. They just wanted to issue credit cards. Those days are over in America.
So my cat can't get a credit card anymore, huh?
Well, but your cat might be using yours.
One final thing before we take a brief break and I give the local phone number. You have a blog at NOLO, do you not? You're not only a co-author of the new bankruptcy, Will It Work For You, 5th edition, but you have a blog at www.nolo.com?
Yes.
What do you do on the blog? What can people expect?
I take people's questions about bankruptcy and I answer them. And if there's enough information in the question, you'll get a full, complete answer. And many of the questions come from people that have already filed a bankruptcy, and their own lawyer is no longer available to help them or answer mm-hmm. questions. The file's closed and the lawyer won't talk to them anymore. I find people so often in the area of debt collection, debt defense, bankruptcy, they just don't seem to have access to follow-up care. Mm-hmm. And they need that because questions always arise. I get phone calls all the time from clients that I represented 5, 6, 7, 10
really?
Years ago.
Really?
They have a question about something that's some kind of a blot that's shown up on their credit reports mm-hmm. or something they're trying to do financially and they need a quick tip or some advice. And I find people don't have access anymore to the professionals who represented them. So many lawyers just won't take their call anymore. And in the blog, I take questions and I answer them thoroughly. Very grateful for NOLO giving me the forum to do that because I like to get information out so people know their legal rights.
All right, let me give you our phone number if you have a question about your debt or about the creditor who's hounding you, or maybe you're the creditor and who has a question that you'd like to pose to Leon Baer, my guest. The number is 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing bankruptcy law, the rights and obligations of debtors and creditors. My guest is Leon Baer, a specialist in bankruptcy law certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. He is the co-author of the 5th edition of The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You?, a book published by NOLO. It is an excellent book. I want to let you know that, by the way, NOLO is not a funder of this program. This is not an unpaid or even paid commercial announcement. I'm a great believer in the work that NOLO does. And if you are having a credit problem, if you are overwhelmed by your debts, I highly recommend to you go to your local public library, to the consumer section. Hopefully it will have a copy of The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You? By NOLO, co-authored by Leon Baer. It's great to have. And frankly, if you can afford it, it's probably worth it if you're having problems with creditors to get your own book. In any event, let's start with Steve. Steve, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
What a great program, especially in this day of the economic distress.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a good friend who is a bankruptcy attorney in town, and he told me that a major reason that he sees for bankruptcy is medical expenses.
Yeah.
And so between insurance and co-pays, and they pay part of it, and then I owe part of it and stuff, it's all very complicated. And then a lot of times I find that it could be a dentist, and they say it's going to go to collections, and then I'll pay the dentist, but they won't tell the person that it's already been paid.
Hmm.
So would you discuss both on kind of the big side, on $10,000 or $20,000 bills that are owed by people, but then also on the smaller ones, the way to solve that?
Well, let's get some comments
for
you, Steve.
Thank you, Leon.
Thank
okay.
you. Thank you very much. Turn your radio back up, Steve.
It.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Well, Steve, I appreciate the phone call and the comment. In my law practice, and I've been practicing bankruptcy law 34 years, I find that medical bills are rarely showing up in my client's list of creditors. Very few people ever file a bankruptcy because of medical bills. Medical insurance is very widespread today. And if you don't have medical insurance, you go to the county hospitals or emergency rooms. They have to treat you whether you can pay for it or not. I just don't find medical bills being a problem. What I do find as a problem in a social situation is that the medical problems cause people to lose their jobs or be unable to work, and they can no longer continue to pay the debts that they contracted for when they were still healthy and working.
Mm-hmm.
So their incomes go down, and that's a problem for people. Bankruptcy is a terrific safety net for that. Steve, if you have a problem with a dentist over a medical bill, you call their office and you work it out. If it's a small bill, it shouldn't be difficult to get it resolved, particularly if it's a doctor or a dentist that you want to return to. If you don't pay them, I don't think they're going to want to see you again.
My understanding under the new bankruptcy laws is that before you can actually file for bankruptcy, and maybe I have the chronology wrong here, but I understand that the new bankruptcy laws require that one undergo a mandatory nonprofit counseling. Is that true?
That's true.
And who are the counselors on this?
Okay.
Anyway.
It's true, but it's not as ominous as it sounds.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that.
Every individual person who files a bankruptcy case is required, prior to filing the case, to undergo bankruptcy credit counseling by a court-approved nonprofit agency. And there's many different nonprofits that provide this. And today, in actual practice, it's kind of like traffic school.
Mm-hmm.
You do it on the internet. It's going to be 1 hour and very simple, direct information is presented to you. And you just kind of go through web page by web page for about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how much anybody ever really learns mm-hmm. from this. It's mm-hmm. more or less kind of like getting your ticket punched so you can go into the theater of the bankruptcy. It's not a burden on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
The cost of it ranges from about $15 up to about $50.
Really? All right.
Depending on who the provider
yeah.
is. We send our clients to a place that does it for $15.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow.
as a condition of getting a bankruptcy discharge, you must, during the case, after the case is already filed, complete a course of debtor education
mm-hmm.
from an approved provider. And that, too, is it's like traffic school. It's going to be 1 or 2 hours on the internet. You can do it on the telephone also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those can be for-profit, although many are provided by nonprofit agencies. And the cost of that is going to range anywhere from about $9 to about $50.
Really?
We send our clients to the $9 place, and it's fine. You don't have to pass a test. You just have to sit there and listen or read the material, and you get a certificate of completion. I'm not sure really what was accomplished by any of this except to create a new layer of bureaucracy that just makes it a little bit harder for people to file a bankruptcy case than what they used to
do. But not impossible.
Not impossible.
One of the things, Leon, that you have in our relationship, that you've been a guest on the program several times, you've been for years now taking calls on Thursday morning after we do our Call a Lawyer night once a month. Very gracious with your time, several hours on a Thursday morning. You also, besides having your own column for NOLO, www.nolo.com, you also have your own blog, which I think I want to let listeners know about. It's called Bankruptcy Blogger, BLOGGER.org.
Thank you.
And so you are seeking to have people contact your blog? And
I love having people contact us and contact me. It's easy.
How can you afford all this time? Because you've been so gracious with this radio program and every fourth Thursday of the month. How do you have time to do this?
Because it's a hobby.
I see.
You always have time for the things you enjoy.
It's like hobby with this radio program.
You love radio.
Yeah, I do. I love public radio.
I love talking about bankruptcy. My law partner and I were both very passionate about that. And I want to tell you, the listeners, you may think, oh, well, these are just rich lawyers. You don't get rich practicing consumer bankruptcy. When all of your clients are broke, you don't get rich doing that. You do it because you're passionate about it. You like helping people. You make a nice living. I've been doing this. I've been a lawyer for more than 30 years, so I have a comfortable living, but I'm not getting wealthy off it.
You don't drive a Rolls Royce?
I don't have a Rolls Royce.
No kidding. Really?
I think it got repossessed. If I could find that tow truck, I'd get my car back.
I'm an expert in tow truck stuff. I'm the one in my office who does the tow truck. So we'll talk about that later. We'll try to find that tow truck. Nancy, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi.
I can't believe that... The lawyer, I forgot his name.
Leon.
You're talking about Leon Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R?
Yeah, I said that people don't go bankrupt because of medical bills. I mean, people
sometimes
are
wiped out. Nancy, sometimes they do, but it's rare.
How can you say it's rare? I know, I mean, I can list 20 people off the top of my head who have, you know, gone through bankruptcy or wiped out because of medical bills. And if you've read any of the, you know, the articles and everything, there are tons of people who don't have medical insurance. And
Nancy,
who don't
Nancy,
go to
let
the
him
doctor.
Let him respond. Would
Nancy,
you, let him respond if you will.
I'm going to tell you a dirty little secret that's politically incorrect. Those articles are bogus. The books are bogus, in my own view, because I deal with this day in and day out. There's been there's
Nancy,
been a very
let him,
serious.
Let him finish, Nancy,
so
please. Nancy, Nancy, let him finish.
But Nancy, if somebody needs bankruptcy because of medical bills, I'm here. I'm glad to do the case. I just don't see them.
Well, maybe the people you deal with don't have. I mean, I just can't believe it because I mean, there's so many people. I have a friend who works for HICAP, which is, you know, Medicare and Medicaid and. I mean, she tells me stories. I mean, there are actual stories of people who, you know, people think, oh, you know, you can get Medicare or Medicaid or whatever if you're poor. It's not true. Or if you get it, they don't pay for half the stuff.
Nancy, it's true that the benefits may not be as extensive as you would get under some Cadillac insurance plan, but the medical provider can't charge a Medi-Cal patient any additional money.
But people can't even afford that. I mean, there's so many people who can't afford the basic insurance. I mean, Bill Moyers has had so many different people on his program.
Nancy, the reporters go looking for stories like that. And
well, they don't have
I
to
get
look
those
we're
going to
move
calls.
On, Nancy. We're going to move on. We've got other areas to cover. Thank you for calling, Nancy. I don't mean to cut you off, but we could take a whole program with the issues that you bring up. But I want to get into other issues. Thank you very much for calling. What are the areas? By the way, we'll take another call in just a minute. What are the areas that are not dischargeable, generally speaking, so that people understand that?
Sure. We've already talked about student loans and how difficult those are.
Right.
Income taxes can be discharged in a bankruptcy case under certain circumstances. for as a general rule, and there's more to it than this, but just generally speaking, if you file an honest tax return 3 years later, you could discharge the unpaid tax debt in bankruptcy. You must have filed a return. Return has to have been filed at least 2 years prior to the bankruptcy filing. There can't have been any assessment of the tax within 240 days prior to the filing of the bankruptcy. And the tax must be a tax that was due at least 3 years prior to the bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's requirements there. Anybody who owes a large tax debt should be talking to a good CPA or tax attorney, preferably a tax attorney in my view, for advice and guidance as to do they have a tax that is dischargeable,
mm-hmm.
and if so, when is the right time to file? Because if you file your bankruptcy case too early, you won't discharge it. And you don't, if you make a mistake, you or your lawyer makes a mistake, and you file your case even one day too soon, the court's not going to let you dismiss your bankruptcy so you can wait for the proper time in order to file again.
A couple of other areas that are non-dischargeable are child support and alimony.
Correct.
That's completely non-dischargeable. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. And what about the debts of if one spouse feels he or she needs to file bankruptcy, but the other spouse doesn't? How does this affect the other spouse?
Yeah. Generally, the only time it's going to affect your spouse, if one spouse files the bankruptcy and the other spouse doesn't, is if they have joint credit.
I see.
If they have joint credit, then it gets more complicated, and you got to look at it on a case-by-case basis. One question I get a lot from people is they want to file a bankruptcy, but they think they're going to be getting married somewhere down the road soon. They want to know, will my bankruptcy affect my future spouse?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is no. It'll have no effect on your future spouse unless you've already established some joint credit.
I see. If you have a joint bank account,
A lot of people start living together. They get shacked up, and they start keeping house without a marriage license, mm-hmm. including creating joint debts, joint credit. So, but if you keep it separate, it's not a problem.
One of the things, we're about the end of the statewide version of the program. We will continue live in the Bay Area, live on the internet at www.kalw.org. If you would like to get a free pamphlet from the Board of Legal Specialization in any one of the 11 specialties, you can either call the statewide number, 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100, or go to the website www.californiaspecialist.org, californiaspecialist.org. It is right now, I think, just about exactly 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW, in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. I'd like to invite you to call in with your question, your comment, your concern, whether you are a debtor or a creditor. The number is 1-415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. Next Thursday, which will be July 24th, we will do our regular Call a Lawyer night. I'll have a number of attorneys here in the conference room who will talk with you off the air on our 800 number, 1-800-525-9917. And I'm hoping, I haven't asked Leon this, but generally he's available. I'm hoping he will be available to take some of your calls. He's giving me the hindsight with a thumbs up that he will be available on Thursday.
No, Chuck, that was the middle finger.
Ah!
Yes, of course, I'm available.
No one has ever done that to me. Excellent. This guy has a wonderful sense of humor. I told him that he could be a great used car salesman, and I would do his voiceovers, and we would have a great future together.
We would indeed.
All right, so it's 1-415-841-4134 if you have questions, comments, or whatever about bankruptcy. Let me just mention this, though, before we take our next call. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KLW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149. 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a Bar Association lawyer referral service. Call your own. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do the best to try to find someone who's experienced and set you up for a half an hour consultation with the attorney. And for half an hour, depending on the county, the low could be $25, the high could be $35. It's a great service. So, all right, we've got Susan. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I have declared personal bankruptcy, and one of the things that actually prompted me to or forced me to face the fact that I needed to do it was listening to a similar show, Chuck, that you did several years ago.
Well, I hope it was somewhat helpful for you.
It was extremely helpful.
Well, I'm glad.
Given my situation, it was the best thing I could have done. My only regret is that I didn't declare sooner. Oh.
I hear that all the time, Susan.
Yeah. I was in shambles, and now I am financially stable and secure. I'm building back my credit. I feel better about myself. I sleep better and drink less.
Good.
So
I'm glad to hear.
Susan, those are all wonderful things. Yeah. Can you tell us quickly perhaps one thing you did to help reestablish credit that was effective for you?
Well, I kept my house. So
wonderful.
I had a job. I still have a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I am continuing to, you know, make timely payments on my mortgage, and then I took out a car loan.
Mm.
That's a great way to reestablish credit.
Yeah. And you get those applications. Some things are harder. It's almost impossible to rent a car without a credit card, but I found ways around that. I have a secured credit card.
Yeah, debit card works great for renting cars.
So all in all, I mean, I regret that I got into that position of having to do it, but once I was in the position, it was the best way to just start fresh, and I'm a better money manager than I ever was before, and I'm confident I will never get in that position again unless something really disastrous happens.
Well, good for you, Susan.
We love hearing from you.
Yeah. What I want to say to the people listening is if you're thinking about declaring, you probably should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Don't waste time with these credit repair services or any of that stuff. Just get yourself real legal representation and do it the right way. The credit repair people are not there to help you.
Thank
well,
you, Susan.
Susan, we have an empty chair here in the studio. You should have been down here.
Yeah, you're good, Susan.
You could have added to the program.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, for all of you, I think you must know this, that the major funder of this program is the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. It funds 18 programs per year. This is a relatively small budget on this program, as most public radio programs are, the real public radio programs, which don't have commercials, which fortunately this station has adhered to. But I'm a real believer in people going directly to the specialists in an area. And so when I give you the statewide number for the Board of Legal Specialization and the website, this is a great way that you can kind of do your homework in trying to find the right person to help you, whether it's bankruptcy or in any one of the other 11 specialties. And so let me give the number again for the statewide number for the Board of Legal Specialization, 415-538-2100. The website, www.californiaspecialist.org. And what you do when you either call the number or you go to the website, you can find out who the certified specialists are in your geographic area, wherever you may be in the state of California. And then what you've got to do when you get some phone numbers is call them and ask them good questions. What do you charge for an initial consultation? Is it something where you don't charge anything, or what do you charge? What can I expect if, for example, in bankruptcy, what is it going to cost me, generally speaking, et cetera, et cetera? Start preparing yourself to ask some good questions, whatever the specialty or whatever the field of law may be. All right, my guest is Leon Baer, a great friend of this program, a great friend of consumers who's been on the program a number of times. He is usually available, and I can't remember when he hasn't been available, on the Thursday morning following our Call a Lawyer night. He will be available next Thursday. That's a week from tomorrow, July 25th in the morning, and I'll give you that phone number a little bit later. Actually, I'll give it to you next Wednesday evening. He's a specialist in bankruptcy law. His offices are in Los Angeles. He came up here specifically with his wife, Helen, to be on the program, which was my great pleasure. It's their wedding anniversary. How many years?
38.
Congratulations. 38 years. Same. You married the same people?
Yes.
This is good. This is good. And Helen's here at the table here in the studio. He's the author of a new edition of Nolo's book, The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You? All right, 1-415-841-4134. Michael, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. Sort of to follow up on the previous caller, can you talk about those credit repair people? And also, I've heard you can negotiate, an individual can negotiate with the credit card companies to lighten the load, so to speak. And the other thing is, there is such a thing as Debtors Anonymous and Under-Earners Anonymous 12-step programs for this whole debting deal.
Okay. Let me get some comments for you, Michael. Thank you very much for calling and good questions. What about the credit repair businesses?
I suppose there's a legitimate one out there, but I've never heard of one. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of lofty promises that they make. You pay the money. They tell you, oh, you don't have to worry. We're going to fix this. We're going to fix that. Credit reports are pretty much set in stone. If you got behind on a bill, you didn't pay it when you're supposed to, you're going to have some bad credit from that. There's nobody you can pay to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
A credit report is like a newspaper. It's about you. If your local newspaper had a reputation of always printing false information, they would not sell very many papers. Mm-hmm. Nobody would want it. Credit reports are big business. The companies that issue credit reports and provide that information have a huge investment in the quality of their product because it's relied upon by financial institutions. Financial institutions are not going to buy credit reports if people could rehabilitate their reports or mm-hmm. change things on the report, change a derogatory that's true, to make it as if it never happened. So beware of the promises that are made to you. As far as credit reports go, if something on the report is not true or it's inaccurate, you have the right to change it. Mm-hmm. But you don't have the right to change something on the report that's true. As far as negotiating with mm-hmm. creditors, yeah, you can do that. If it's getting a little difficult to pay your Bank America card, don't call them up and expect them to cut your bill in half. They're mm-hmm. not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They might if you're already 6 months behind on the bill, mm-hmm. because then the collectability of it is dubious. They don't know if they're ever going to mm-hmm. collect on this. And they very well probably will make a very nice deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can call and get a reduction on your interest rate, even if you're current, because the banks don't want to lose you as a customer so long as you're a good payer. But interest is their profit. That's their payday. It's mm-hmm. a paycheck. They don't want to give that up. And if you have a situation of extreme hardship, it's a good idea to call your credit cards and see if you can get better interest rates. But they're not going to cut the principal and make a settlement with you unless the account is already very delinquent.
All right. Let's talk with Aletha. Aletha, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hello. Thank you. So my question is, I don't want to get into too much backstory, but essentially my ex-husband, after our divorce, ran up a line of credit that I had been a co-signer on in an association with his business. He ran it up to about $60,000 and then without my knowledge, and then he stopped paying it, and I have been pursued for it. So I had already been on an edge with my credit. Long story short, he had offered to pay for my bankruptcy. I went ahead and I stopped paying all my credit cards, and then he decided he wasn't going to file for bankruptcy, and so now I'm in a big mess. And what I'm kind of wondering is if it's worth it to pursue trying to get my association with that debt absolved, or if I should even bother and just go ahead and file for bankruptcy since I messed up my credit as a result of the whole thing.
Have you seen an attorney yet, Alyssa?
No, not yet. That's the thing. I haven't yet.
Yeah. Okay, well, Alyssa, now you're speaking to one. It's too bad you were married to a stinker.
Yeah. Sorry about it.
And you can't change what's already happened. It's time for you to go see a bankruptcy attorney. Most bankruptcy lawyers will give you a free consultation, and you'll find out what your legal rights are. And it sounds, you say try to get absolved from the debt. Well, it's too late for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on the hook for it. And go see a lawyer. And your credit's not going to get any worse because you file a bankruptcy. It's probably only going to get better.
Where do you live, Alyssa?
I'm in Oakland.
Are you? Yeah. Well, my as I'm a great believer in specialties, legal specializations, did you get the phone number for the Board of Legal Specialization?
Actually, I was waiting to go on, so I didn't catch it.
Yeah, here. I want you to take it down, and then you call them, and I'll also give you the website, and you can find out who the certified specialists in bankruptcy law are at the board through the Board of Legal Specialization, whether you call that number or whether you go to the website. The statewide number is 415-538-2100. And then do you have access to the internet?
Yes.
Yeah, it's www.californiaspecialist.org.
Great.
And if you do either, you can ask them who, and I'm sure over in Alameda County you'll find that there are a number of certified specialists in bankruptcy law.
There's a lot of good lawyers in your community.
And you can find out who they are and then call their offices and ask some very basic questions, such as, do you give an initial free consultation, et cetera, et cetera. And then do some shopping, help yourself. And my belief, you know, in my regular job as a deputy DA for San Mateo County in the Consumer Protection Unit, I'm always trying to do what I can for consumers. I think it's very helpful for you to educate yourself. I'm very impressed with Leon's co-authoring of this NOLO book. It's one of the smaller large paper books, paper-bound books by NOLO. It's The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work for You? You can either go to your local public library and look at it or pick it up. It's not very expensive. And start educating yourself in terms of what your rights, what your obligations are. So good luck to you.
Great. Thank you so much. Already the program has helped me so much to just not feel afraid to file.
That's right. Don't be afraid.
And Alyssa, remember, don't be bashful or shy about calling a lawyer.
Yeah.
They want you to call.
Yeah,
them.
And ask them questions that you might feel a little uncomfortable in asking, but ask them that.
Yeah.
See what kind of responses you get. If they play around with you, if they try to avoid the question, then you know, try someone else.
Right.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, take care. All right, this is Your Legal Rights, 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134, and we've got Rose. Rose, wait a minute, that was Rose.
Hello.
Here's Rose. No. Yeah, Rose, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hello. You may have covered this at the very beginning of the show, which I didn't hear, but probably not because it's such a strange question. Is it possible to file bankruptcy if you are not behind on any of your credit card payments?
Why would you want to do that, Rose?
Okay. As the other woman, I don't want to get into too long of a backstory.
No, but don't.
Just to try to make it short,
yeah.
I have $15,000 of credit card debt, and I am living on an income of $930 a month.
Are you living in a home or are you renting?
I'm living in an apartment, and it is a rent-controlled apartment, but my rent is still 75% of my income.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So you've been using your credit card just to survive.
Right.
Yeah.
There's partly that, and there's also from a long time ago, I did, just to reinforce Nancy's opinion there, I ran up a lot, not medical bills, but I ran up a lot of dental bills. and also veterinary bills.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of those, and then there was just using the credit card just to get by.
Yeah.
Because I got fired from my part-time job about a year and a half ago, and I have been trying very hard to get another job.
Let me get some comments from Leon for you.
Okay, Rose, that was a terrific question. Do you have to be behind on your bills before you file bankruptcy? The answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such requirement. And in fact, it's kind of an interesting quirk. If you file your bankruptcy while your bills are still current, your credit will not take as big of a hit.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So
the main thing I'm sort of getting to the point where I only have a few hundred dollars left of credit on them, and I'm sort of playing, I'm playing musical chairs with my credit cards in order to pay the rent and the bills, which come to more than my income.
How many credit cards do you have?
Only two.
Only two. Well, that's good.
So, anyway.
Rose, based on your income and what the debts are, your financial affairs, you have a very simple bankruptcy case. Go get some help.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Where are you? What city?
And I'll look up your book. And your blog is Bankruptcy Blog?
It's Bankruptcy Blogger, BLOGGER.org.
And bankruptcy is spelled, it's RUPTCY.
You got it. BANKRUPTCY.
Okay, yeah. Blogger.
Yeah, okay, Rose.
Okay.
Take care. Thanks for calling. All right, the number 1415-841-4134. Ted, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. Let me just say thank you, Chuck, for this program and all the other programs you do that help consumers. And
well, I get a great deal of satisfaction out of doing this, Ted, frankly. I'm a great believer in particularly in people having the average person having access to lawyers to be able to ask questions where to try to get some direction for help. I happen to love public radio. I happen to love this station, which has maintained itself as a real public radio station. I'm very concerned about other stations that may actually start having commercials. And this station, fortunately, I guess maybe part of it because of the management here, but also being connected to the San Francisco School District, has to be very careful with what it does. So I get a lot of satisfaction out of this. But go ahead. What is your question?
Well, my question, I'll be brief, is if you file for bankruptcy, are any of your retirement accounts and IRAs, 401ks, protected? And what assets?
Good point.
Oh, Ted.
Good point. Thank you, Ted.
That's
wonderful.
I couldn't have fed you a better question if I had tried.
But how much did you pay him to call in? Huh?
Oh, we'll talk about it off the air.
All right, we'll talk about it. Okay.
Ted, to answer your question, IRA accounts, and a lot of people have IRA accounts, individual retirement accounts. It's something that's not usually done through an employer. You usually do it on your own. You can have and keep in the bankruptcy $1 million in your IRA account.
I hope you have that much, Ted.
I wish.
Don't we all?
If you have anything close to it, come on down here and loan us some money.
Make a pledge.
If you have a 401k, a 403b, these other kinds of plans, those are also protected in full.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So,
and if you have a regular, retirement that's coming in or that will vest at a certain time in the future, is that protected?
Let's, for example, a union pension, a pension that comes from employment working for the government or any governmental agency, private plans that are set up by an employer for their employees, which are tax approved. These are all examples of the kinds of plans that are protected in bankruptcy.
The public
policy is to let you keep your retirement funds so that you will not be a burden on the public when you can't take care of yourself anymore.
Very good. Thank you so much. It's very informative.
Does that help you?
It does, actually.
Good.
It actually does.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Let me just add for Ted's benefit and everyone else, if you owe money on a loan that you've taken from your retirement plan, that does not get discharged. you still have to go and repay your retirement loan.
Interesting. So it sounds like if one is interested maybe in filing for bankruptcy, let's say in the next whatever 6 to 12 months, and one is also making a contribution that's being matched by one's employer, that would be something you might want to keep doing until you file.
Well, you might want to keep doing it even after you file.
Yeah.
You talk to your own attorney about that. Sometimes there are strategic issues that come up if you are a high income earner, if you have an annual income above average or above statewide median. There's some careful planning that has to be done, but a good lawyer will know how to do that.
Okay, very good.
Good luck to you, Ted.
And, Ted, you mentioned you might file bankruptcy in 6 or 12 months. If you're already thinking about it, I don't know what you're waiting for.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck to you, Ted.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Do you get comments, do you get questions frequently from your clients saying, if I file bankruptcy, I still have a job, but if I file bankruptcy, might I lose my job because of filing for bankruptcy?
Yes, I do get that question a lot. I have never had a client fired from their job because they filed bankruptcy. And my law firm has represented about 15,000 people that have filed bankruptcy. Nobody has ever come back to say they got fired because of it. There are certain protections built into the bankruptcy law to protect you from discrimination by a private employer if you file a bankruptcy, but it's vague and the court decisions are pretty wishy-washy. The bottom line to it is I just have never heard of it happening.
All right, 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. What if someone, generally speaking, I know we discussed this the last time you were on the program, I think it was back in March, someone who is having a problem making their mortgage payments, they're getting way behind, the mortgage holder, the bank is hassling them, threatening to foreclose on the mortgage. What basic recommendations? Obviously, everyone's situation probably is a little bit different from anyone else's, but what basic recommendation do you have for someone who's in that position?
If you're in that position, call your mortgage company.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hire someone as a mortgage consultant to negotiate to get you a loan modification. Don't hire a lawyer for a loan modification. Don't hire your chiropractor or your tax preparer to do it. Just call your own lender. All the big lenders today have become very reasonable, in my view, about granting loan modifications. A typical loan modification doesn't wipe out any of the loan.
Mm-hmm.
But what they will do in many cases is reduce your interest rate. A reduction of interest rate from, say, 5% down to 2% means your payment got cut in half. You got to show some genuine hardship, and you've got to show an ability to continue paying, even at the lower rate. But I find that banks today want to work with you on that.
What do you recommend if the value of someone's home is underwater, which means that the fair market value of the home is less now because of the overall real estate situation is less than the amount owed on the mortgages? What recommendation do you have on that?
Let's look at two different examples of it. If, for example, you have a second mortgage, a first mortgage and a second mortgage, which a lot of people have, if it's underwater as to the second mortgage and the home is actually worth less than the amount owed just on the first mortgage by itself, Chapter 13 bankruptcy might allow you to get rid of your second mortgage.
Really?
Yeah, really. Oh, suddenly.
I didn't realize that. No, fortunately, I'm not in that position, but I did not realize that was the case.
Yes, very powerful consumer laws are in the bankruptcy code.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this all the time. I do several of these every week. Mm-hmm. What we call lien stripping. We mm-hmm. will remove mm-hmm. a second mortgage from someone's home. You still have to keep paying your first mortgage and your property taxes. But we're very successful at that, and it's a very common thing today. Now let's talk about someone who has just one mortgage on the house and the property is underwater, as you say. If you can afford your house and you like your house, you like living there, don't worry about it being underwater. Just keep making your payments. You get a terrific tax deduction because of your mortgage interest and your property taxes. Mm-hmm. So when you take that into account, your payment is really a lot less than you think it is. Over time, I don't know when real estate's going to recover. They say it's starting to now. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But your home will double in value before it ever goes to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Your home will never become completely worthless. You know, we don't worry about our car dropping in value, and you don't say, oh, my God, I need a loan modification because my car's not worth what I paid for it. People get upset about the house, though. There's something more personal about your home, your nest. If you're happy there and you can afford your house, just stay there. Don't worry about it.
Let's take one more call. Larry, you've got about half a minute, if you would. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks. I'll make it quick. I hope you didn't answer it earlier in the program. How many years does it take after the bankruptcy is discharged before it doesn't show up on the credit reports anymore?
That's a very good question.
10 years.
10 years.
Okay. That's what I wanted.
So there you are, Larry. There you are. Okay. Thank you very much. Final comments. What final comments do you have for everybody? Because we're nearly
okay.
Over.
Here's what I want people to take away from this. If you have debt problems, it's like having a backache or something. You can go and have it taken care of. You don't have to suffer with this. And don't be embarrassed about it. Call a lawyer. Almost all bankruptcy lawyers will talk to you for free. They'll see you in their office for free. You don't have to hire them. Don't even take your checkbook if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Just go and get the advice. You're not alone. You're not the only one going through this. And the bankruptcy laws are the most powerful consumer protection law that I've ever heard of in my 34 years of law practice.
So there is hope.
Oh, absolutely. Most people who are struggling with debt are able to file a bankruptcy. They're entitled to file a bankruptcy. And almost everybody who files bankruptcy doesn't lose anything. They keep their assets.
I want to thank you, Leon, very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Let me give, before I give you kudos, more kudos, the Board of Legal Specialization website, in case you're trying to find a certified specialist in one of the 11 specialties, www.californiaspecialist.org. And also, our Call a Lawyer night will be next Thursday. That's July 24th, 1-800-525-9917. And the next day, Thursday morning, Leon Bayer will be available to speak with you on his 800 number. And if you join us on the program next week, I'll give you his 800 number. Leon Bayer is a specialist in bankruptcy law certified by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. He is the co-author of the 5th edition NOLO consumer book, The New Bankruptcy, Will It Work For You? Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Great to have you on the program. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California, by the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Next week, we're going to do landlord-tenant laws and issues. My guests are landlord-tenant attorneys, also our good friends, James Coy Driscoll and Mark Seidenfeld, and it will also be our Call a Lawyer night, 1-800-525-9917. Thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.